Well, the wind's already blowing. It's a thrill to be here. You know, that choir was singing and Lord. The Lord surely stirred my soul. And it just got better. Brother Sexton, I was glad when you asked me to come. And I was even gladder when you told me you've been praying all the week. Been praying. If I had a message, it's probably flew away. You ever get that way? Did a lot of wrestling. But church, you know this, but I will say this. Of these years of preaching and pastoring, the church goes forward. She go forward in this book, obeying it and on her knees. And if she don't do that, she'll be going backwards. And, you know, I've been in so many dead churches since I stepped down as pastor. Don't let your church die because you failed to pray and praise God. What with him? I'm telling you folks, I could sit here all day and hear you all sing them good old songs with some life in it. Life in it. God, by your mercies, deliver us from all this deadness. Amen. I used to tell them years ago, I got born in the fire. Hardened me to live in the smoke. I like the fire of God. That's the only thing I can operate in because I'm so weak and unworthy. If God don't help this preacher, there won't be nothing done. Oh, you dear ladies, I was glad to hear you say about the ladies. You know, them old mothers and grandmothers prayed us in, brother. We about lost that. We just about lost that. Don't lose that. I'm just talking to you from my heart. Oh, my Lord, do help us. He is, isn't he? Oh, he's making himself known here today. Oh, brother, I'm so glad you got in. It sure did ring in my soul when you was testifying. I'm just a country boy. Raised up in the cotton fields and cornfields of Georgia. We went to that little country church. They had a lot of missing, but they was not short on the old time power. A lot of churches have got a lot to offer today, but they don't have any power with God. They don't have a man of God that leads them to pray. Oh, my. You just remember this. The Lord always has the last word. I'm just going to testify a little. I'm just going to obey God. I'm sure that's what the pastor wants. It's what you folks want. I don't ever say much about this. In fact, I'm real reluctant to say anything about what I'm about to say about. Talk about. Somewhere along the line, you know, we own two farms. And I believe you ought to honor your parents and you ought to honor your father and your mother. But my dad got on alcohol. And we lost the two farms. We worked like slaves. I don't want you to feel sorry for me. It was rough. It was a rough road. But I had a praying mother. And I had a old-fashioned praying, shouting grandmother. My grandmother would set us down, tell us about Jesus. They didn't have any full-time churches then. I was so far back, most people didn't have transportation. But when they went to church, they went to church. To do business with God. When I was 10 years old, we was in that protracted meeting they had the morning and night. And on Saturday was your morning. They'd preach all the week, might not even give an invitation. On Saturday morning, the men had put the mules up, put on their overhauls, and come down the house of God, and there's the one that built the fires through the winter. And everybody had gathered on that special Saturday morning. The women sat on this side in the choir. The men sat on this side in the choir. If there was such a thing, the amen corner. They had that big, long bench going down that side. Big, long bench going down that side. They called them the mourner's bench. You know why they called them the mourner's bench? That's where men and women and young people and boys and girls come to call on God and mourn over their sins. And they would come and they'd mourn over their sins. Nobody tried to read them in. We wanted to get born in. Because unless you get born again, nothing else matters if you don't get born of the Spirit of God. Oh, my. And I knew I needed to get saved. I was 10 years old. That old preacher preached the book of the Revelation, when the pale horse rider rides by your house. He is a non-millennialist, but he believed in the power of God. He believed in hell, fire, and brimstone. And he believed you had to be born again to get into glory. My older sister came that morning. And I didn't want to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. And I come a-weeping, and she came a-weeping, and she got born the Spirit of God that day. They didn't try to talk me in, but I wanted to be in. Somehow I missed it. I didn't get saved. But I went ahead and got baptized. I joined the church. I went through the procedure. I did everything right. Except I didn't get born of the Spirit of God. You got to get born again. Except you get born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. And if you don't get born again, you can't enter the kingdom of God. You enter in by the new birth, and where there is no birth, there is no salvation. Salvation's of the Lord. And I went 10 years with no love for Jesus. I never did hate God, I didn't think. I don't believe it did. I always wanted to go to heaven. I believed in heaven and I believed in hell, but I didn't know Jesus. When I was 20 years old, I went back to that same little country church in that protracted meeting. And I was sitting on pew 3, right there where you all are sitting. And that preacher preached that day that God had woke me up, or God, I wasn't really asleep. One night in August 1956, God come to me. And I thought the Lord was coming, and I knew if he come that night, I wasn't ready to meet him. I heard that old phrase up at Fairmount, Georgia. I'm telling you, it scared me to death. I thought the Lord was coming. I covered my head up. I didn't know what air conditioning was. I got that old bedroom, and I got under Holy Ghost conviction. Everybody don't have to stay under Holy Ghost conviction in and out like I did. God dealt with me. God dealt with me from August to March. And in that protracted meeting, March 1957, sitting right back there on the right hand of that little country church, the preacher preached that night. And oh, my Lord, my Lord, God began to really shake me. Well, we ought to be patient when we're trying to reach people that don't know the Lord. Oh, they're in darkness. They're blind. They're lost. They're helpless. And it takes nothing short of the mighty, mighty power of God to get them out of that graveyard that they're in, because they're dead in their trespasses and dead in their sin. I'm a little loud sometimes. But as young as I am, you'd expect me to be loud, wouldn't you? They sung about 3 verses, Brother Sexton, and I sit there, and oh my Lord, I say, I was a reasoning with God. The Bible said, come let us reason together, didn't he? Oh, he said, though your sins be as scarlet, I'll make them white as snow. He said, though they be red like crimson, I'll make them as wool. I tell you, when he gets through with you, you won't need a Band-Aid, praise God. You'll have the real thing when he gets through with you. Oh, I said, Lord, if you will have that preacher to sing one more verse, I'm giving him my testimony. If you'll have that preacher sing one more verse, I'm going to go down there. You know what he said? He said, I may have told this testimony before here, but if I have, it'll still be all right. It was where Paul went. He told about how he met the Lord on the road to Damascus, and they trembled. Agrippa trembled. He didn't get in, but God dealt with him. He could have got in if he'd have come. Amen? Oh, yes, he could have got in if he'd have come. He refused to come. He rejected God. And by the way, God's not going to knock the door down and decide the house out to get you saved. He's sending you the word, and you ought to come if you're lost. Yes. That preacher had to be led by the Spirit of God. Somehow or another, you know what he said? He said, we're going to sing one more verse. And I felt like I was the only one in the house. Almost, it seemed like. And he said, this verse is for you. This is your verse. This verse is for you. When I started that verse, I came down that old altar. Oh, I prayed. I will. You know, that's not really what saves you, but it's a good place you're getting in when you get to there. I love that book. I love that book. Amen. I've been studying that book now in my 60th year. And there's nothing like the book.
Amen.
There's nothing like the book.
Yes, sir.
I get back on. And there's nothing like getting on your knees and talking to the Almighty. Yes. Talking to God. You know what a privilege it is to talk to God. I couldn't get an appointment to talk to the President of the United States if my life depended on it. In fact, I don't want an appointment to talk to him. But I've got an appointment with God. I can go to God. I know the Almighty. I know the Creator. I'm not about the God of love, the God of compassion, and the God that's going to bring judgment upon all of them that reject His Son, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I I'm nowhere around what I was planning on preaching on. But I'm preaching, I'm giving testimony, preaching what the Lord wanted me to give. Oh, my. I don't know how at all. You know, I've never thoroughly understood just how it all comes about in this thing of salvation. I know what the Bible says, and I know you can go through a lot of things, but I'm going to tell you this is a matter that's between you and God by the power of the Word and the power of the Holy Ghost. And I don't know that I've ever been able to explain all there is that I need to explain about it. But I want to tell you, I know I got what I needed because I got old-time salvation, old-time religion. God saved me. He turned me around. He put me in the right way. He's God. I was walking as straight to hell as I could go. I had my back turned on God with my name on the church roll, my baptism, and I was walking away from God. Step by step, I was getting closer to hell. 20 years of age, I was moving in that direction. But oh, the Holy Ghost! The Holy Ghost of God arrested me. And He didn't turn me this far. He didn't turn me this far. But He turned me just like this. I was facing hell and headed to hell. But He so changed me, He turned me around 100 degrees. And ever since then, March 1957, I've been walking toward heaven. And I got my eyes on the one that's going to get me there, because His name is Jesus. And He said, I am the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life. No man come unto the Father except He come by me. Amen. What's wrong with you, preacher? I just got saved. I just got saved. 57 years plus, I'm in that 60th year. And you know what? I'm going to get there. Amen. I'm going to get there. You know why I know I'm going to get there? Because He's going to get me there. Oh, my Lord, I may have to take my round, but it won't be hard as slow as our sister may. I'm telling you, it's good to know Jesus. Do you know Him? Do you remember when you met Him? We're nearing the shore. That's all right. I'm not done. I might be just about done, but I'm not done. Will you hear me? I did everything I knew to do. I did everything I knew to do for the sexton. And they came down. Some of them said, "You saved?" And I said, "No, I don't think so. I'm 20 now. So I sat up on the old mourner's bench. And I'm sitting there. And the old preacher comes around. He had a Bible. Looked like a Sears and Roebuck catalog. I'm going to talk about one of the big ones. He opened my old Bible. He said, "Boy, are you saved?" I said, "I don't think so. I've done all I know to do. I don't think so." He took that Bible, stuck it right down in front of him and held it. He said, John 5:24 said, "Verily, verily." You know what that means, don't you? Truly, truly. I mean, you don't miss that. You know, I mean, you know, this is the truth. This is all the truth. This is the whole truth. "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, he that heareth my word and believeth on him." Get the emphasis on him. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him shall not come into condemnation." He said, if you have him, you won't ever come into judgment. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath." Present tense. Somebody said, "Well, I'll get it sometime down the road. I'll find out." Church of Christ said, "We'll find out when we get the glory." I found out that night. "He that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life." If Brother Sammy Adams was preaching, you know what Brother Sammy would say? He'd say, "Now, if one of your loved ones gets saved here tonight or today," he said, "don't get excited about it, because all they got was eternal life. They're saved from hell. They're saved from forever. So don't get excited about the fact that they won't go to hell. They're going to heaven. They're saved forever. Hath everlasting life, shall not come into condemnation, shall not come into judgment, but is passed from death unto life. I was dead in my trespasses, and I was dead in my sin." And if you're not saved, you're dead in your trespasses. You're dead in your sin. Amen. And I'm going to tell you something. I thought I was going to preach starting on a threefold cord, not easy, broken. The world's got the sinner. Amen. The self-life's got the sinner. Amen. The flesh has got the sinner. The self-life. And the devil and his demons has got the sinner. And it takes the mighty, mighty power of God. That's what we're short of. That's why you got to come and pray for a week and beg and call on God and plead for him. You don't have the power, and I don't have the power, and the preacher don't have the power. And grandma don't have the power, and daddy don't have the power, and nobody else has got the power, but God himself is the power of the Word and the Holy Ghost. So I got eternal life that night.
Amen.
That's God. I feel like I could run all the way to Kingston. I want to tell you, buddy, there's nothing in this world like old-time religion. I'm not finished. That preacher looked at me. I might have told this camp meeting, but it's still good today. That preacher looked at me and he said, "Boy, what are you going to do? Are you going to believe God? Now, you can do everything you try to do, but you're going to have to exercise faith, believe in and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You could crawl from your house to this church until the blood run out of your knees." I've seen Catholics do it in foreign lands, and they still would just as lost they've ever been. And I believe you ought to strive to enter in. But when everything is done and everything is said, you must believe on Him. Amen. And I don't know that I exactly know how to tell you to do that, except just go to the Word. Believe on Him, He said. If you don't have assurance, I can't give you assurance, but you can find it in the Word. If you'll stay in the Word and stay in the Word, and when He gives you the assurance, nobody can shake you. Said, "Well, they come for assurance." Well, they might have and still might not have got it. I'm about to get there. So I'm sitting here. And he said to me, "Boy, what are you going to do? You going to sit there and go to hell? Or are you going to believe God?" I remember this is good. If it was last night or this morning. He said, "Are you going to go to hell? Or are you going to believe God?" I want to ask you, what are you going to do? You're going to sit here with all this praying and preaching and people weeping over you and telling what God's done in them? Are you going to sit here and go to hell? Are you really going to believe God? Yeah. All I know is God did it. He took His Bible and put it under His arm and walked off and left me sitting there. He got about 10 steps from me, Brother Wayne, and the light come on in my soul. The light of God, the joy of the Lord, the peace of God, that faith all understanding, come all alive in my soul. It come alive in my soul. And you know what? I'm in that 60th year, and it's still a burning, praise God. All I had the first go around was church membership and water baptism, a lost Baptist going to hell. That's all I had. I tell you, better be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I had that I'd studied, but for some reason, you know what I'm talking about, I never could. I went back and forth on about three things. And it just didn't seem to 100% said that's it. Oh, God spoke to me over there. You know what He gave me? You don't need a catalog. God gave it to you. John 5:24. It wouldn't really matter to me if I had not done anything. I'm just obeying God. I'm not here to try to impress nobody. I'm too old to impress anybody. I'm just here because the pastor invited me. I sure am glad I'm here. Oh, I'm so glad I'm here. I wouldn't want to be nowhere else. Well, preacher, didn't you know they're going to have 150,000 at Bristol, and and them balls are playing Virginia Tech. I'd rather be here as to be with that 150,000 than what I'm getting today. Yes, now, if you like that, that's all right, I guess. But I'm telling you now, there's nothing like Him. Amen. I'd say there's somebody in here, I don't know where they are, probably needs the Lord. If not, there's somebody in here that you know the Lord, but you have drifted too far from the shore. You don't see your need to read your Bible. You don't see your need to pray. When will it be? When you get to where you won't need to read your Bible and you won't need to pray. Well, I'm really not sure. You see, I've just been in it 60 years and I still like to get up at 4 and meet the Lord. That's the highlight of my day. I don't get up every morning at 4. And I don't even know why I should mention this, but you know. It's nothing bad. But as you move along, the battles will get greater. Well, I sat here this morning, and I listened to your pastor teach, and opened that book, and I thought, well, I remember when I was his age. I don't know how old he is, but he's probably the best years of his life. You don't know what a treasure you got. A man of God that really walks with God. And you know what? I would say all of you are not 100% perfect, but he's really fortunate. How the people they can preach to, they love him and he loves them. Amen. Over here in the country, it's wonderful. Stay with the man of God, folks. Amen. You sure did bless me today. I better be careful. Every one of y'all bless me. That choir. Do you know him? Preacher, you probably need to give an invitation. I don't really know. I want you to stand. If you don't know the Lord, if you're cold, maybe you're slack on your prayer life, maybe you made that profession. Maybe you made that profession when you was a little boy, a little girl, and you really meant it and you're sincere. But you don't have any life, you don't have any spiritual life, and you know you need spiritual life. Why don't you come? What are we singing? Just as I am. Just as I am. Will you come? That's how God wants you to come. He'll turn you around. You won't go away just as you are now. Amen. You'll be changed. Do you really have old-time religion? Do you have salvation? We're singing, would you come? Do you need to come?